May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My mother's side of the family is from New York State. And some years ago, we took a family trip to the Finger Lakes region. It's a beautiful place to see and a nice place to visit, especially in the summer. On that trip, I was amazed at the number of wineries in the Finger Lakes region and that part of the state. Now, you wouldn't think that a grapevine could survive in their harsh winter climate, but they do. The lakes are between 200 and 600 feet deep, and apparently they rarely freeze over. And the deep water in the lakes keep the winters from being so harsh in that part of the state. On the trip, we picked a winery, and we stopped off for a wine tasting. Now, I've always been a basic guy, nothing fancy, nothing too expensive for me. I've never really noticed too much about the differences between wines before. But for the first time, I noticed a difference in the taste. Even at the same vineyard, the same grapes can taste differently. There's different processes that they use when making the wine. And I'm by no means an expert, but apparently the soil and the type of grape and the climate and the weather and the region and the time that they spend, well, it all factors into the taste. Wine often marks major moments in life, like celebrations and parties and special occasions. Someone once said, wine often accompanies celebratory cheers, and it sometimes eases heartbreak and tears. Wine's an important beverage not only in the U.S., but around the world in places like Italy and France and Spain. And for thousands of years, people have grown grapes. And because it's been around for so long and been made for centuries, wine is one of the beverages we come across and we read about from time to time in the Bible. When we read about wine, we have to understand what life was like in their day. The water supply was iffy at best. And we know untreated water can be dangerous. And today, our water goes to the water treatment plant, and it's filtered and cleaned and made safe to drink. Well, they also knew that untreated water wasn't safe. And so they treated it with what they had. They added a little bit of wine to the water to purify it. The alcohol made it safe to drink. So sometimes when we read about wine in the Bible, that's what they were drinking, water that had been purified and made safe to drink with wine. But other times, like today at a wedding celebration that we read about in our gospel passage, well, we can bet that the beverage those folks were enjoying was probably a little bit stronger. In the second chapter of John, Jesus and his disciples and his mother have been invited to a wedding at Cana. As the story opens, we read that the wedding was in progress because, you see, they arrived because a Galilean wedding celebration could take days. It could even take up to a week. Now, of course, the ceremony didn't take that long, but feasting back then was a big deal, and it was taken seriously. At some point during the celebration, everyone in the village would show up to congratulate the happy couple, to be there to take part in the festivities. So that's a lot of people that would show up and a lot of pressure on the bridegroom, a lot of pressure on that family. Well, somewhere during the course of that rolling, ongoing, days on end celebration, the wine ran out. Apparently, there was a crisis because the party hadn't yet run its course. Maybe the host miscalculated about what they needed. Maybe they were trying to cut some corners, and maybe they didn't buy enough to begin with. But it didn't matter. They were out, and without wine, the celebration was as good as over, and the merry crowd wouldn't be so merry anymore. Well, Jesus' mother is there. And she notices that they've run out of wine. And then we read that there's this exchange between Jesus and his mother. And if we read between the lines, that's really kind of funny. Mary tells Jesus the wedding hosts have run out of wine. Jesus' response is, well, they should have hired a better wedding planner. What's that got to do with me? Why is that my problem? Jesus asks. But Mary ignores him. Instead, she turns to the servants and she tells them, do whatever Jesus tells you. So Mary leaves everything up to him. She leaves everything in Jesus' hands. And it's his mother's urging that leads Jesus to action. It's like a mother encouraging her child to get on the school bus for the first time. Come on, you can do it. I know you can. Like a mother teaching her child to tie their shoelaces. You can do it. Give it a try. Give it a shot. I think that's kind of what this was like. We can wonder, what did Mary see in that moment? What did Jesus reveal to her up to that point that would cause her to believe that he was capable of such a miracle? Somehow she knew that this was the time, that this wedding celebration was the moment for Epiphany. An Epiphany is when something is revealed, when it's seen for the first time. And with this miracle, Mary pushed Jesus out into the spotlight. Well, Jesus tells the servants to fill 6 stone jars, to fill them up to the brim with water. And the servants take the jars to the chief steward, and as they do, they're made into wine. And it's not the cheap stuff either. We read Jesus didn't make the equivalent of boxed wine from the grocery store or 3-buck chuck from Trader Joe's. Now, this was fine wine, better than what the hosts had served before. At this party where the whole town is present, where everyone is there, Jesus' glory and his power is revealed to them for the first time. And for us as readers in John's gospel, Jesus is revealed as the Son of God for the first time. For a first miracle, Jesus did something that got the whole town's attention. See, he didn't make just a little bit of wine. He made a ton of it. Those jars held 20 to 30 gallons each. That's 120 to 180 gallons. So this first miracle that Jesus makes, he makes an abundance. He makes an extravagant amount. And it points to how Jesus can provide not just a little bit of what we need, but Jesus can provide an abundance. There will be other miracles Jesus will do, other miracles of abundance as well, but this is the first. And this points to how later in John's gospel, Jesus will show and give an abundance of love. Jesus will give an abundance of grace. Jesus will extend an abundance of forgiveness. And it reminds us all that we need that abundance of love and grace and that abundance of forgiveness. And for Jesus in John's gospel, it wasn't Jesus' baptism nor his temptation that moved Jesus into public ministry. It was his mother. Mary recognized Jesus for who he was, and she knew what he could do. Many of us have a mother or a father that guided us, that at times pushed us. Often a parent knows what their child can do. They see something in us that maybe we can't see in ourselves. And oftentimes parents know when it's just the right time. See, parents help us have epiphany moments. Parents help us see what we can do, and they help their children reach their full potential. And I think this is what Mary was doing with her son in this gospel story. And did you hear what Mary said to the servants? She said, "Do what he tells you." Now, Mary's words are always important in the Gospels. She gives words of faith and words of instruction, words of guidance for us. And so as listeners, we need to take to heart what Mary said. She said, "Do what he tells you." And as the story continues, well, they do what Jesus says. And Jesus helps, and he provides, and there's an abundance. And so the message is, great things happen, wonderful, blessed things happen when we do what Jesus says. And notice how it happened. It happened through transformation, where water is changed into wine. And that's like the transformation that we experience, how our lives are changed when we do what Jesus says. For example, if we love God with all our heart and with all our mind and soul and strength, and if we love our neighbors as ourselves, that will change our life. Change how we think and change what we do. Change how we live and how we treat people. Loving God and loving neighbor. If our lives revolve around these two priorities, everything about us will change, and change for the better. If love is our guiding principle, if love is our motivation for what we do, then we'll be changed. We'll be transformed by love. As we know, wine is grown from grapes. It's grown over, they're grown over time, and they're harvested at just the right time. There's a whole process that goes into making wine, and the more time that's spent, the longer the process, the finer the wine. You and I, we're like grapes being grown in a vineyard. And God's transformation in our life takes time, and it happens slowly. There's a process that we're going through, a process we're going through right now. It's so subtle that sometimes we can miss it. But maybe that's a good thing. That keeps us from taking credit for it ourselves. Maybe it's best for others to see the transformation in us that Jesus brings about. It happens in us each and every day, but we notice it when we look back and we take the long view. Look back over time. See, we're the new wine. We're what Jesus is making new. We're going from being empty vessels, empty stone jars, to being filled to the brim when our minds and our hearts are changed by God's love and by God's presence. Someone once said, and imagine these words in terms of our lives, someone once said that this was a miracle of turning the weaker into the stronger, the common into the precious, the despised into the excellent, the tasteless into that which gladdens the heart. See, that's what Jesus is doing in your life and mine, making us into something stronger, making us into something precious, into something excellent, into something that gladdens the hearts of other people. On the second Sunday after Epiphany, we could all ask ourselves, are we following Mary's advice? Are we doing what Jesus says? And if we are, then wonderful, blessed, great things can happen. We'll start to experience God's transformation in life. Like a fine wine, it won't happen all at once, but happen over time. And there will be an epiphany. Jesus will be revealed. People will see Jesus living in us, in our lives, and in our hearts. Amen.